Election debacles, such as the 2000 United States presidential election, are uniquely a product of the United States electoral system. Many of the structural weaknesses found in the United States system could be remedied by the adoption of other electoral systems and other methods of representative democracy. KBSC News recently had the opportunity to speak with Tony Solgaard, a member of the citizens group Fair Vote Minnesota, about different forms of electoral systems and representative democracy. The following are segments of that discussion. How did you become aware of instant runoff voting, and how did it become an important issue to you?
Well, it started, I think, in 1991 when I was on a visit to Sweden, and there just happened to be an election campaign going on at the time. And I'd been involved in politics and that sort of thing here in the United States for many years, and was kind of surprised by how different a political campaign looked in Sweden than in the United States. So when I came home, I looked into it and found out that they have a different voting system in Sweden than we do here. And I had no idea that there were other voting systems. As it turns out, most of the major democracies in the world used different voting systems than we do here in the United States, and instant runoff voting is one of them. So that's how I first became aware of it, and as I got into it more, I realized that different voting systems actually make a difference in the quality of democracy that we experience. And as I looked into it, I became more and more convinced that Americans and Minnesotans and people, voters in general, need to be aware of these other voting systems, because it can really make a difference in our satisfaction with the kind of democracy we have.
What specifically does instant runoff voting entail?
Well, we're familiar with the concept of a runoff election, where you hold an election, and then if nobody gets a majority of the votes, then you have a second election, a runoff, and then usually that's between two candidates, and then the one that gets the most votes in the second election will be declared the winner. They'll have achieved a majority of the votes, and they'll be declared the winner. Well, an instant runoff accomplishes the same thing, only it does it on one ballot, so that you don't have to hold a second election. You can just hold one election, and in a multi-candidate field, the voter goes into the voting booth and they rank the candidates in order of preference. So you put a 1 next to your first choice, a 2 next to your second choice, and so on, and then they count the votes, the first choices, and if nobody gets a majority, then the candidate that comes in last is eliminated, and all the people that voted for that candidate, then they get a chance to have their vote count for their second choice, and that process is repeated until you have a majority winner.
Do you feel that instant runoff voting provides the winning candidate with a better knowledge of what the electorate wants?
Well, that's one of the benefits of instant runoff voting. In the 2000 presidential election, we had 4 major candidates, and many people say that Ralph Nader spoiled the election for Al Gore, and it could also be true in some states that Pat Buchanan spoiled the election for George Bush. And instant runoff voting would, if it had been used, would have eliminated the spoiler problem, and it would have made sure that the majority, the wishes of the majority, were actually honored. You'd eliminate the spoiler problem. You'd allow voters to vote their conscience without fearing that they'd be throwing away their vote. It does away with that. The need for a voter to engage in strategic voting, and then, as you said, it gives the candidate it gives it it gives a richer picture of the views of the electorate. And the winning candidate would be able to see how much of his or her vote was coming from his left or her left or right or center, and I think it just gives a richer meaning to a candidate's mandate.
What are some of the benefits inherent in instant runoff voting?
First of all, I'd say that just the whole concept of ensuring majority rule is one of the main benefits of instant runoff voting. In many of our elections in the past several years, our winners have been decided by less than a majority of the vote. And if we had instant runoff voting, we could make sure that the majority actually decided the results of the election rather than a minority. And in cities like St. Cloud, where there is a provision for a second runoff election, IRV would present the benefit of saving the cost of having a second election. You could get it all done in one election, and that's both an administrative cost savings, but it's also a form of campaign finance reform because it shortens the campaign season and reduces the cost of campaigning. And a third one is it maximizes voter participation in choosing the winner. I think we all recognize that when a lot of people vote, that's a good thing in democracy. That's a sign of legitimacy. But in Minnesota, we've generally been following the national trend of fewer and fewer people voting. Instant runoff voting provides more incentive for people to vote because they don't feel like they have a dilemma of voting for their conscience versus voting for the lesser of two evils. They have confidence that they can vote and know that their vote will count, and that's important. We minimize wasted votes, votes that don't help elect a winner. They're, to the fullest extent possible, people's vote will help contribute to electing a candidate that they really like or approve of. And another benefit is that instant runoff voting promotes a different kind of campaigning, a positive, more issue-based campaign. Because right now, you might have candidates slinging mud at each other, even if they're fairly similar in their philosophies, because they're going after the same pool of voters. Well, with instant runoff voting, they'll have an incentive to be positive because they'll want those voters to name them as their second or third choice, whereas that's not even in the picture right now. So there's a number of benefits.
Are there any known disadvantages to instant runoff voting?
First of all, I think I need to say that there's no such thing as a perfect election system. And I think a good mathematician can demonstrate that there's problems with any voting system. But I think when we're talking in practical terms, I think we have to talk about what we have now and is there something that would be better. And if we compare our current plurality voting system with instant runoff voting, I think there's no question that instant runoff voting would be a change for the better.
Could local governments adopt instant runoff voting without the state or federal governments adopting instant runoff voting?
Any local government that has a home rule charter, they've gone through the process to become to have their own local constitution, if you will, they have the power to create their own voting system and could adopt instant runoff voting. So St. Cloud, being a home rule city with its own charter, could choose to amend its charter and use instant runoff voting.
Is it possible for cities that haven't already enacted a home rule charter to put one into place?
A statutory city is governed by state law, and currently state election laws would govern how they conduct their elections. So in order for those cities to use instant runoff voting, they would have to adopt a city charter so that they could choose their own voting system.
What strategy of electoral system reform do you suggest? Should people proceed city by city, state by state, or should people concentrate upon reform at the federal level?
The good thing is that people at all levels are becoming aware of alternative voting systems like instant runoff voting, and there is legislation introduced in the Congress and in several state legislatures, including Minnesota, and there are also local ballot measures being conducted around the country, and so it's gaining awareness. And I think, like all social movements, it's that multi-tiered, broad-based movement that is required to accomplish a pretty significant change like this. And I think that probably the way it's ultimately going to happen, the sequence of victories will probably start in private organizations and in local governments, and it'll percolate up as opposed to trickle down.
Do you think it's possible to influence the course of election reform?
Well, certainly, if people in this, let's say, in St. Cloud, if they wanted to start a charter amendment to accomplish this, that's certainly very much within the realm of possibilities. There are statewide groups and national groups that are networking voters and keeping people informed about what's happening in the movement for better voting systems. And my organization, Fair Vote Minnesota, is the major group in Minnesota that's advocating for alternative voting systems and educating people about it.
Does your organization, Fair Vote Minnesota, advocate any electoral system reforms in addition to instant runoff voting?
Yes. There are a number of different voting systems that generally fall under the umbrella of proportional representation, and that's actually a much more powerful reform even than instant runoff voting. That would allow all voters to the extent possible, it would allow all voters to elect someone who will represent him or her. Even instant runoff voting is a winner-take-all system where the majority will win representation, but the minority will not. Proportional representation would allow us to elect a city council or a state legislature or the Congress in such a way that that all voters would be able to elect a winner to the extent possible.
Does Fair Vote Minnesota suggest a percentage hurdle or a percentage threshold political parties would have to reach in order to be included in the state legislature or the Congress?
Well, what we do with Fair Vote Minnesota is we educate about the voting system, and decisions like that are going to be made by the citizens and by their representatives. But it's something that we do like to point out, that if people are concerned about getting too many parties, for example, that they are actually able to set a minimum threshold. So I think in Germany with the 5% threshold, I think they essentially have a four-party system. There may be some other minor parties, but essentially it's a four-party system, and they seem to like that. But there are other countries that don't have any threshold at all, and they don't experience that kind of fragmentation. South Africa, for example, the leading party there, the African National Congress, has regularly gets two-thirds of the seats in the parliament. So there's the nice thing about alternative voting systems is that it's sort of like a menu that you can order from to fit your own particular tastes and needs. And we don't have to accept the one-size-fits-all voting system that we've been familiar with.
I've read reports crediting the adoption of proportional representation, in Norway specifically, with the evolution of political power parity between the sexes in Norway. What are some of the benefits of adopting proportional representation that we've seen in other nations?
The one you just mentioned, greater percentage of women elected to the legislature is a real important one. In Scandinavia, women make up nearly half the legislature, and that was made possible by proportional representation. And if you compare those countries with countries that use a winner-take-all system like the United States does, the percentage of women elected is much lower. It's just a fraction of the level that they do in countries using proportional representation. I think voter participation is another one. Much higher voter participation, representation of more points of view. Like I said, all voters are able to elect somebody that represents them, whereas we know that doesn't happen under our voting system.
The previous audio was from a recent interview with Tony Solgaard, a member of citizens group Fair Vote Minnesota. To learn more about other systems of conducting elections and representative democracy, check out www.fairvotemn.org. That's www.fairvotemn.org. You can also learn more at your local library, either through studying electoral reform, or if you're really adventurous, by comparing the political and electoral systems of the United States to those of other countries. That's it for this program. Reporting for KVSC News, I'm Jed Cousin.